And a guy that can talk a lot about Al Horford is from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's the Sixers beat writer. Keith Pompey joins the show. Keith, how are you?
I'm well. What's up, man? How you? You good?
Yeah, man. I appreciate you you taking the time and popping on. I want to talk some Sixers with you. They introduced all the new guys, Al Horford, James Ennis comes back, Josh Richardson. I do want to talk about James Ennis' comments, though. He said that they were the team to beat, basically. I think his exact words were, we should walk to the East. What did you make of those? Did you think it was something that could, you know, that he shouldn't have said? Or because personally, as a fan, I looked at it like, I love this guy's confidence.
Yeah, I mean, he said it because, I asked him a question. I said, James, why did you want to come back? Why was it important to you? And he went on, and that was the last thing he said. We're going to walk to the East. We're going to walk to the finals. We're going to walk to the finals through the East. And I actually was a little shocked at all the negative reaction he got from saying that. Like, people are like, how dare you say that, this and that. Look, he said what a lot of people feel. A lot of people think that the 76ers are the team to beat in the East. If not the Sixers, it's going to be the Bucks. And a lot of times we love it when, we say we love it when the athlete gives us the 100, when they come and they tell us everything that's honest. But then all of a sudden, when they come that way, then people want to criticize the person for telling the truth. And then next thing you know, he's going to say, oh, no comment. So I kind of enjoyed it. And to this day, I don't understand, the criticism he received for saying something that a lot of people in Philadelphia believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Now, the other guy that they introduced is Al Horford. We just had a caller before we brought you on who called him Average Al. I'm interested of what you think he brings to this team.
I don't know. I don't think he was average when he was busting the Sixers' tail for like.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
You know what I mean? He was like Mr. Fundamentals, but he had Embiid on skates a lot of times. You know what I mean? So you can make, average is cool. Now here's the thing. The thing about Al Horford is, he's up in age. You can say that. And, the concern is what's going to happen in that fourth year. Like, is he going to be that type of player, that's going to be worthy of the money he's going to receive? So that's the question. But when you look at the 76ers, right, they're a team that, we're talking about they want to go to the finals next year. So you have to basically go all in now. And that's what they're doing. And you look at Embiid, and I'm not disparaging him or I'm not talking smack. But he's not going to play 82 games. He may not even play 65 games. So when you have a guy like Al Horford, he's going to be able to come in and he could play the four, he can play the five, and they won't miss a beat, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Embiid in regards to being a center, but what I'm saying is he is an elite player in this league to whereas we won't or the fans won't have to question who is the backup center. So when people call him average, maybe he's basic. He's fundamentally sound. But believe me, he's a great player. He's a five-time All-Star, and he's going to be a great addition to the Sixers.
Now, one of the pieces they still need is a shooter. What's the latest with their pursuit of Kyle Korver?
From what I'm hearing, Kyle is, right now, he is, taking time, trying to, see where he wants to end up at. And I think that's what's going to happen. He'll probably let people know sometime this week. But from what I was told, is it's one of those things where, he's just sitting back, waiting. And let's face it, right now there's a lot of trades going on. There are certain teams that they're going to have some cap space freed up to whereas he may not, he won't have to take the minimum deal. So for him, it could be, a business decision. You don't want to hurry up and rush. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, another contender has a slot where I can make $8 million as opposed to making a minimum.
Do you think he's just opposed to coming back to Philly? Because they've tried in the past to get him before and they've failed. Or is this finally become kind of a destination for veterans who are, quote, ring chasing?
I don't know if he's opposed. I mean, here's the thing. His wife is from South Jersey. So, this is kind of like home for him in a way. Like a home away from home. At least, based on the in-laws, this is where everything started. So I don't know. I mean, I will say that now, you know, there was a time, even back in January, where you would say free agents weren't coming here. And then all of a sudden, Elton Brand made these trades. And now you got these guys like Al Horford. And let's face it, you know, a lot of that stuff was based off of relationships with Elton Brand, these guys that. So they're all here. You know, Tobias Harris wanted to resign after the trade. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think that guys are ring chasing. But, you know, a lot of times you want to go somewhere where you want to win. You know, like nothing. Like I'm born in Philly. I love Philly. You know, you're from Philly area too. But if the Sixers are struggling and you have a chance to go to New York with all the marketing, or you have a chance to go to L.A., or somewhere like that, you'll be a fool to come to the Sixers if they're struggling. Now, if the Sixers are battling for a championship, you know, and now you're seeing them playing on Christmas Day and this and that, of course you're going to want to come. But, you know, if everything is equal, no offense to Philly. Again, I'm a Philadelphian. I love my city, this and that. But if you have a choice to go to L.A., New York, or Philly, and everything's equal, you're going to L.A. That's just how it is.
Now, you just got back from the Summer League. Who out there, if anybody, impressed you on the Sixer squad?
I will have to say that Matisse Thybulle impressed me. And you know, I really like this. I like what Zaire Smith did. You know, there was a guy, P.J. Dozier. He kind of, like, grew on me towards the end. Now, I don't know, you know, what his status is going to be with the team moving forward, because he was basically a free agent just on their summer league team. But when you talk about Matisse, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's raw, he's young, but at the same time, I like the way he kept getting in the passing lanes. It was funny, like if a guy makes a lazy pass, he'll step in front of the ball and it's like a dunk at the other end. You know, he also showed me that he's a better shooter than we gave him credit for. I believe he shot like 39% from three in this tournament. And when you look at Zaire Smith, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, 6'2". He was a power forward in college, a center in high school, believe it or not. And now he's, you know, he's starting to show, like, he's still raw, but he's starting to show some glimpses of some things that he can do. And, you know, he was knocking down some shots. He was getting to the basket. You know, his hops are back from, like, the ordeal he had. So those two guys really stood out to me the most. And, you know, the guy Sayoc is good, you know, the shooter. But I would have to say that Zaire and Matisse were the two guys who really, you know, impressed me the most.
Now, they gave Shake Milton a 4-year deal. I know he was injured a lot during the summer league. But in the limited amount that you did see him, how did he perform?
You know, Shake Milton looked like a guy who got it. I mean, like, he looked like a guy who just got a 4-year deal, and it tends to happen. So you get a guy who gets money, and then they're telling him, like, look, we don't have a backup point guard. We want you to go out here and show what you can do. And I felt like he was pressing. You know, like, I felt like, you know, it was one of those things where he was thrust into the moment where, you know, we want you to do this and do that. And I just felt like he was pressing a little bit. Now, is he a point guard? Probably not. I mean, heck, last year he was a two guard, but he's undersized. You know, he's not as athletic as you would like for that position, but he can score the ball. So what you try to do is guys like that, you say, okay, you don't fit the profile, so let's turn you into a point guard. I think that, you know, moving forward, you know, he's going to be better utilized as a smaller two guard, but he's not going to be the star. He's going to be a guy who can come in and get you some shots and get you some buckets, you know. But I think right now what happened is he was so focused on running the offense, and then when he shot the ball, he was struggling. I mean, it happens, but I think that moving forward, he'll be fine. But I just don't – I think that a lot of people put a lot of pressure on him, thinking like, you know, they saw like little glimpses of him, you know, last year and saying, Shake is going to be that guy. But we realize that, you know, right now he may just be a late, I'm not going to say, you know, a guy right outside of the rotation, right outside of the regular 8-man rotation. But that's not bad. He's a second-year guy. He'll be fine.
All right. Now, I have to ask you about Ben Simmons. It got announced about the contract extension, but he hasn't signed it yet. At least I'm not aware if he has. Is there a reason why he hasn't signed it yet?
Well, you know, this is how stuff goes. So the deadline is going to be right before the season starts. And, these negotiations are funny. So, you know, they start negotiating, but they really don't negotiate. Like, what happens is, like, everything is simple. He's going to get $170 million. But then there comes with bonuses and everything like that. And what typically happens is the team will say, okay, Ben, if you do X and X and X, you'll get an extra bonus, right? And the agent says, no, we don't want that. And then what they say is, all right, well, this is our offer. And the agent's like, oh, we don't want that. And then months go by, and then right before the deadline, all of a sudden, they always come to an agreement. So this is something that I really wouldn't concern myself with over. Like, we all know that he's going to get a bonus. He's going to get an extension for $170 million. But then it's basically going to be with the bonuses. Even down to, like, you know, All-NBA. Like, if he makes All-NBA team next year, that money goes up to over $200 million. But basically, a lot of times, the negotiation stuff has to do with the bonuses. And this is typical. You know, a lot of times you'll see it, and it's going to happen with other players, too. Right before the start of the season, you're going to get, Woj is going to be tweeting out such and such signed his extension. That's just how it is. I wouldn't be concerned over that.
And last one before I let you go, Ben Simmons will not play for the Australian national team. I'm personally a fan of it. I don't want to get pissed off about a jump shot in September. But what was your take on that?
Yeah, actually, I didn't really care, to be honest. Like, I mean, I saw it and I was like, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, he just decided that I guess he didn't want to do it. I don't know, man. Like, it's certain things I know is newsworthy and all that stuff, and I chase it. But when I heard that he didn't want to do it, I was like, okay, he didn't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's no, that. Totally.
Because here's the thing that people don't realize with that. So the Sixers are trying to go ring chasing this year. Like, they're trying to win the championship. So if you go to the world championship, that's going to tie you up big time, you know? And, you know, the Sixers are trying to have a long season. Does Ben Simmons really want to be committed to playing basketball for like 12 months straight or 10 months straight? So, you know, that's the one thing you have to ask yourself, because this is the world championship, which is great. And Australia ain't going to win it. Like, let's keep it real. So do you want to do that for this, or do you want to go win a chip this year and then be on the Olympic team next year? So that's just the thing that people have to worry about, I mean, or have to focus on. And believe me, it's like, it's just going to be a long year for Ben and for the Sixers.
All right, Keith, I appreciate the time. You can follow him on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers and read him in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith, thanks so much, man, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, man. All right, brother. Peace.
See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.